For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, March 28th, 2007. This week, Secure Computing CTO Paul Judge talks about how former CipherTrust customers are faring nearly 9 months after that company was absorbed by Secure Computing. And exploit code is released for an Internet Explorer flaw. We begin today with the SANS Institute, which unveiled a new program Monday called the Software Security Institute. It's a new exam program designed to ensure that software programmers demonstrate better security scruples when writing code. A coalition of technology users and vendors organized by the SANS Institute has billed this as the first skills assessment and certification examinations for programming professionals to test their secure coding skills, find gaps, and, if they choose, gain GIAC Secure Software Programmer status, also known as GSSP status. Alan Paller, research director at the SANS Institute, said the exams are necessary because programmers were never taught about secure coding. He added that demand is high among programmers for something like this. There'll be four examinations, each covering a specific programming language suite: C, C++, Java J2EE, Perl PHP, and NetAsp. The exams will be administered in August in Washington, D.C. on a pilot basis and then will be rolled out globally. Next up, IT administrators who have yet to install an Internet Explorer patch released in February may want to move it up their priority list. Attackers have access to exploit code for one of the flaws the patch addressed. WebSense Security Labs reported on its website Monday that full exploit code has been published for a flaw in Microsoft Data Access Components, or MDAC. Attackers could exploit the flaw to hijack targeted machines. Microsoft patched this problem in its February 13th MS-07009 bulletin. My conversation with Secure Computing CTO Paul Judge is up next after this message.
So you're looking for good reference books on information security, but it's so painful trying to figure out which ones are worth reading. And you're sick and tired of spending time on all those tedious e-com websites trying to sift through all of those anonymous user reviews, right? Well, here's a word of advice. Check out SearchSecurity.com's Information Security Bookshelf. SearchSecurity.com has compiled an impressive selection of reference book excerpts from leading information security experts, including Ira Winkler, Gary McGraw, Kevin Mitnick, Joel Dubin, and many more. And if you want more than an excerpt, you can download a full chapter for free. Check it out today at SearchSecurity.com/bookshelf. That's SearchSecurity.com/bookshelf.
Last July, CipherTrust joined the long list of security companies to be merged into the operations of another vendor, in this case, Secure Computing. Paul Judge was CTO of CipherTrust and now holds the same position with Secure Computing. He joins me today to discuss how former CipherTrust customers are doing nearly 9 months after the acquisition and which threats he's paying the most attention to these days. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So, you were with CipherTrust when it was acquired by Secure Computing last year. Talk a bit about how the transition has been so far.
So, I've been with CipherTrust for about 6 years, and we started the company in 2000, and we merged with Secure Computing just about 6 months ago now. And the transition has been going very well on several fronts. I mean, this was an interesting merger of two technology companies in that, you know, the typical set of ways that mergers go in our industry has been either, you know, companies combined but nothing changes but the logo and the business card, meaning the two companies still operate as separate entities. That's typically one common path, and another common path is a company is acquired and kind of the key technology is absorbed and the rest of the company kind of falls away and sheds away. In this case, we had two technology companies of roughly equivalent size come together and kind of move forward and merge quickly across the executive management team, across the technology team. So it's been very, I think, unique in our industry in that sense, and has been very well received by our customers and by our partners.
So how has the Cipher Trust element changed the complexion of secure computing? And what are the customers telling you at this point as far as their happiness or maybe not happiness?
So the Cipher Trust change to the complexion of secure computing, I think if you start looking at one level, the executive management team, for example, secure computing, out of kind of eight individuals that are on this team, three of those are former Cipher Trust employees. So you can kind of really see kind of how the Cipher Trust and secure computing have come together and kind of really a mix of complexions, as you say. One of the things that I think the Cipher Trust team brought was certainly around the research capabilities of the company to really dive into forward-looking problems and create innovative solutions, as well as if you look at our VP of Marketing, Audrey Strategy, and our Chief Strategy Officer, Jay Chaudhry, the vision that this team brought to the overall secure computing leadership team, and this combination of kind of what secure computing had in place is rather powerful as a standalone focused security company. I think what is also important is that the product lines of the two companies were quite complementary. They were all focused on enterprise gateway security. Cipher Trust certainly from a messaging security side, but then secure computing from the firewall and then web security side. So when you blend these together, really focus on the key problems that the companies have out at their gateway.
So let's move on to discussing that. You've been among the security experts warning of the dangers of image spam, just as one threat example. Last fall, your research team said that it had observed a 200% increase in image spam. What is the latest research telling you about the threat?
The threat of image spam has continued to kind of make up about 30 to 40% of the spam that's on the internet today. And with spam being about 90% of the email that's showing up at our customers, we're at a point that about 1 in 4 emails on the internet is an image spam. And this didn't happen because the spammers wanted to have fun with Photoshop. It happened because they were looking for more ways to slide one more message through to have it reach the end user. They're looking for more ways to maintain their profitability and achieve their goal. And so we continue to see them, frankly, innovate along those paths. I mean, go from one image type to another, use different image processing techniques and character obfuscation techniques to just make their messages harder to detect by spam filtering and security devices and help have those messages reach the end user. We're seeing them experiment with new types. Besides image spam, we're seeing spam showing up as PDFs. So the attacker is continuing to be creative and trying to figure out one or two ways to get those additional messages through. So it's certainly, as a security company, as the entire security industry, we're busy working on ways to kind of get out ahead of that and be more robust in separating the legitimate content and traffic from the illegitimate content.
Has secure computing been able to track where these some of these image spammers are coming from, whether it's from Russia or China?
We have, and it's frankly from all of the above. I think when you talk about where it's coming from, there's a few levels there. There's what machine actually sent the message that showed up at your doorstep, and typically those machines are zombies. Those are botnets or machines of innocent people that are being used by the attacker to do all of their dirty work. Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays we're seeing 450,000 new zombies every day sending unwanted messages into companies around the world.
If you're an IT administrator and you're faced with this particular threat, not just in terms of from the technological aspect as far as scanning for some of these coming through, but also in terms of the cultural challenges dealing with user computing habits, as an example. What do you need to be doing to combat image spam?
A good question. I think one of the truths of today that we have to kind of all come to understand is that the majority of the traffic on coming in, especially through messaging systems, even through web systems in many cases, is unwanted. I mean, we're at a point where 90% of the traffic trying to enter your network is unwanted traffic, as opposed to, you know, 3-4 years ago when unwanted traffic was 10%. You know, spam was 10% of all email, viruses and all included, when I say spam in generic fashion, was 10% of all email. Now it's vice versa, where the unwanted traffic is 90%. And so that requires us to rethink several of the approaches that we took in the past to safeguard our networks. You know, spam detection, for example, you know, you think about that, that means detect the spam. Let me pull out the messages that I don't want. That made a lot of sense when it was 1 in 10 messages that were unwanted. Today, when there are 9 in 10 messages that are unwanted, does it make sense to try to find those 10 or to focus rather on finding that 1 in 10 that you do want that's coming from someone that you trust, that you do business with all the time, that's been honest about their identity? So I think we're seeing a change in the approach that we need to take to be robust. And this requires changes for IT administrators, as you mentioned, to kind of really rethink the approach that they use to safeguard their users. And another important element is that these users change the level of trust that they give to content and to messages that are coming in and websites that they're interacting with.
Again, Paul Judge, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That'll do it for this week. The latest information security news is always available, as it breaks, on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And don't forget, you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, that's searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks, as always, for listening.